Okay. All right. That's wonderful. Yeah, we always have choice to make, you know, whether we're going to believe God or believe what we see. You know, that's the condition we find ourselves in, right? We can walk by sight or we can walk by faith. And what we have to determine what our faith is the Scripture and the promises of God. You know, I mean, we view everything in light of what we see circumstantially or what we hear from our Heavenly Father and what He has promised us, right? And it's that simple. It boils down to that. In everything that we do in life, everything that we do, every choice we make is that. Or are we going to choose to walk by our senses, or are we going to choose to walk by what God has promised? God has made promises. God has made promises that exceed precious. They exceed great. You know, they exceed precious. Precious meaning costly. You know, the promises that God made, when God opens His mouth and says He's going to do something, it costs something to do that. You know, just like we, if we were to open our mouths and promise someone something, it's going to take something on our behalf to do it, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Like, I promise you I'll come pick you up at the airport when you get in. Well, that's going to cost me something. It's going to cost me my time. It's going to cost me some gas. Yeah. Right? And it's going to cost me some patience in that traffic. It's going to cost me something. Right? Well, the exceeding great and precious promises that God has made, precious has to do with the cost. When God promised that He would redeem man, right from the get-go, right from their first fall, right? Adam and Eve fell, and He made a promise. He made a promise, and He knew that promise to fulfill it was going to cost Him dearly. It would cost Him in His wisdom and understanding and His righteousness. He knew it was going to cost Him the life that would be the closest to Him. Not one of His created angels, but the life of a son that would be His son. This would cost Him something. And so when we view God's promises, we understand that when He made them, when He opened His mouth and He made these promises, that they cost Him something. But God being faithful, God being just, God being righteous, He knew that once He opened His mouth, He couldn't back up on it. He's not like a man that he can lie every time he turns around. Well, I know I promised you, but this happened and that happened, and I just, you know, I'm sorry, I got to take that back. But I promise you I'll make it up to you. And then another lie, and then another lie. See, this is not God. This is what men do. And most people have a problem when it comes to making that choice. What am I going to believe? They have a problem in recognizing that God is not like you. God isn't like you at all. He's not like me at all. He's faithful and just. When He promises, I'm going to make you more than a conqueror in every situation, then He is willing to fulfill that no matter what it costs. And He's already fulfilled it. He's already paid the price. He already offered His Son as the payment for all of these problems that you and I face day by day. And we are, because of Christ, because of His obedience, we are now made the righteousness of God in Christ. This costs God something. So He's not going to back up on His promises. He's already paid for it. So He will be there consistently and faithfully to fulfill as we choose to look to Him, to trust Him, to not doubt Him, to not consider Him to be like any other individual that we may know. Unfaithful, untrusting. You know, well, I may be able to count on him today, maybe not. You know, it's in and out with this guy. And God only desires for us to trust Him. That's all He's ever asked of anybody. Right? When He came to Adam and Eve and said, you know, I'm going to make this right. I'm going to make it right. Your seed will definitely take care of the problem. But the seed will have to be something that I do, not you. You have nothing to do with it. I gave you your chance to do something. You messed it up. Now it's up to me. It's up to me now. It's up to me. And God fulfilled that. All through the ages, He waited. He waited for everything and everyone. And all He needed was one. All He needed was one individual to come before Him and say, I believe you. He didn't need an army to lead Israel out of bondage. He needed one individual to say, okay, I'll follow you. Moses. And Moses had all the excuses, all the reasons why he couldn't do it. And then God said, that's not about you. I know you stutter a lot. That's okay. You're not the world's greatest orator. But you know, Aaron's pretty good at that. I'll have him speak. God provides. It's not about us. And when we choose to believe Him, to trust Him, to walk in love, to walk in this great power that He has enabled us with, and He has. He has made us His masterpiece. He has done that for us. I couldn't do it. You couldn't do it. The law proved that nobody could do it. It had to be one individual, unique, so unique. It had to be the Son of God that could fulfill it all. Right? And He did. And so now we benefit from that. I want to read something in 1 Corinthians. You know, the great reality of what we have in Christ is so beyond explanation in a human understanding. It really is. Why would God be so gracious? Why would He favor us so much? It says in chapter 2 of 1 Corinthians some great things regarding this thing that God had to keep secret. He never told anybody. He didn't tell Adam. He didn't tell Abraham, Jacob, Isaac, nobody. He didn't tell anybody. He didn't tell Moses. He didn't tell Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel. Didn't tell David. Didn't tell anybody. Didn't even tell his own son when he was ministering to Israel. He held it as a secret. And it says here in chapter 2, verse 4, it says, when Paul, speaking of him coming to them and preaching the good news, he said, my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom or man's philosophy, man's understanding. You know, I couldn't have figured all of this out, and I wasn't trying to explain it to you with my own wisdom. But in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. This was a reality that had become available to him upon the new birth when he had received that Spirit. Just like the men in the Old Testament and the women, when they had Spirit upon them, they could speak for God and speak these wonderful things and have them come to pass. Prophesy of things that would happen. It's not going to rain for 3 years. Oh my gosh. Did I just say that? He didn't stop and wonder why he said it. He said it because God said, say it. He spoke. And God fulfilled what he spoke. He had the Spirit upon him. He could speak for God. Right? Each one of us has the Spirit of God within us. And we can also speak for God if we choose. Is that not what the world really needs? Mm-hmm. Not for someone to point fingers at everybody and say, well, it's his fault, it's his fault, it's their fault. Mm-hmm. It's that political party's fault, or it's this, you know, religion's fault, or whatever. No, what the world really needs is for someone to once again be able to speak for the Almighty God. To speak words that will edify and encourage and build a person up to the point where they will enter into a relationship with God, with the Almighty God as a son, as a daughter, and Know him as he desires for you to know him, and then speak for him. In order to do that, you have to have the Spirit. You can't do it just on your own. And when we choose to walk with that Spirit that he has provided for us, it will be powerful. There will be a demonstration of the power of God. When it's received with faith, when it is received with believing, oh, you're saying that's for me, that's God's promise for me, okay, I believe you. How many times was Jesus Christ met with belief? And what were the results when he was met with a believing heart? When he chose to speak for his Father and speak as God inspired him to speak. Be healed. Open your eyes and see. Open your ears and hear. Open your mouth and speak. Get up on your feet and walk. Devil, be gone in the name above all names. And devil spirits would flee from him. It's because he chose not to look at it with his senses, but to walk with that great understanding and reality that it was God working in him. The power of God working in him. And it demonstrated power. And just like there was a demonstration of power in the life of Jesus Christ to everyone and toward everyone who came to him with faith, there can be in your life as well. And in my life. In each of our lives. Because he has clothed each of us with that same power. Right? He has to have. Or he would be choosing to favor you, Chris, instead of Vita. Or Tim, instead of Herb. And he would respect people and their condition as opposed to his own promises. See? God had these things in mind. And the reason that he enables us to speak for him and demonstrate this power for him is that verse 5, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men. How many people put their trust and confidence in what men come up with as a reason for life, as a philosophy? How many countless philosophies there are out there that people put their trust in? And yet God says, I don't want that. I don't want for you to have your faith, your confidence, your trust in men's philosophy, in men's ideas. I want you to be confident in my power, in the power of God. Not in our faith should not lie in men and what they say. It should remain and firmly placed within that reality of the power of God. That God is a powerhouse. That he is the one who can speak and there is light. He has that power. And our faith should rely on that. Our faith, our confidence, our trust should be placed in nothing other than the power of God. Why do we pray? Because we believe God has the power to answer that prayer. And he has made the promise that he will answer that prayer. He says his ears are open to the righteous. And he hears their prayers. Well, no man outside of Christ could ever say, I'm righteous. Which is why he had to fulfill that righteousness in Christ for each of us. Now that we are righteous in Christ, made the righteousness of God in Christ, we can be confident that he does hear our prayers. Because in Christ we are righteous, not in our flesh. There is a separation now. There is a separation between you and your flesh and what you struggle with daily and who you really are in Christ and what God has made you. His masterpiece. His master, his workmanship. That's what we translate his workmanship as masterpiece, because God never made you know, he never created anything that he would just say, that's not, I don't like that. Right? Like so many artists struggle with, right? I knew this artist once, and he was never finished with a portrait, ever. Because he was never satisfied with it. Right? Well, the God's not like that. God knows exactly what he wants to do and how he wants to do it, and he does it. And he has accomplished it all for each one of us. We are his masterpiece, it says in Ephesians. Right? His workmanship. We are not a product of our own work. The law demanded that a man be a product of his own work. And that product was always falling short. It could never satisfy the most holy God. And so therefore by it was the knowledge of imperfection. Right? Here's perfection. Here's the bar. The law set the bar. And man constantly trying to jump over it. I can't get it. I just can't get it. Oh, I'm almost at though. I fail. But grace, the grace of God, provides for us what we could never have earned for ourselves. He says, I'm going to do you a favor. I know you're trying. You've tried. You've always failed. Now I'm going to do you a favor. I'm going to do it for you. That's grace. That's grace. And it says, verse 6, we'll keep reading, howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect. In other words, when we come to those that are fully mature, that really have some faith in God, we're going to speak regarding this mystery. Right? Yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to naught. This is not about them and what they say. But we speak the wisdom of God regarding that hidden mystery, is how it should read. We speak the wisdom of God regarding this hidden mystery, this secret that God kept within himself, which our God ordained before the world unto our glory. He had it all thought out. He had it all planned out from the moment they failed. He said, I know what to do. I knew this. There was a possibility of this. You know, whenever you give people free will, they can choose life or they can choose death. And he made it simple. So he knew there was a possibility. But as the moment they failed, God knew. Because God's God. You know, it didn't take him, all right, you know, I'll get back to you on this. Right? If he's God and he can speak, let there be light. What are you going to do next? I don't know. I'll get back to you on that. Let's have a conference with the angels. Let's have a conference. What do you think? Should we have a main light? I was thinking, main light? Lesser light. What do you think? Anybody? Anybody got any thoughts on this? Michael said, it's up to you. God doesn't need that. From the moment man fell, he knew this is the plan. This is how I can bring this to pass. But there's one part about it I'm going to keep secret. There's one thing in there, this one detail that is the greatest of all I'm going to keep secret. I'm going to tell them a lot of stuff. As we go, as we proceed, I'm going to tell them a lot of stuff. I'm going to show them, you know, all this stuff. I got the law plan. I got the promise. First, I got to get a guy that will just believe what I tell him when it's impossible. And he's looking around. This guy Abraham, or Abram. This guy Abram, I think he'll believe. So he comes to Abram, and what does he do? He had all this thought out. He had it all thought through, but he had to wait. He had to wait on people to choose life. So he kept this one part secret, which none, verse 8 says, which none of the princes of this world knew. None of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. They wouldn't have done it. They would not have done it. So this must be huge. Because all the planning, all the planning of the heads of Israel and the heads of the Gentiles. You know, everybody looks at the crucifixion of Jesus Christ as being, you know, just this is just the Jews' fault. This is not what the Scripture says. It's not. Who's Pilate? Was he a Jew? Ah! Did he have a hand in it?
Yes.
Oh, he tried to wash his hands of it. But no. And it says so in Acts. It says so in Acts chapter 4. You know, that it was the Jews and the Gentiles that did it. The whole world rejected this Messiah. The whole world rejected him. But God had something bigger in mind. He said, I know, you know, he knew the probability. I'm going to send my son, but they're probably not going to believe him. Some will. Yes, some will. They never would have crucified had they known this one thing, as much as they hated him. As much as they hated him. The Jews hated him for saying he was son of David. He would be their king. Some hated, they hated him because he said, yeah, God's my father. He, what? Why? And the Romans hated him because he was conflicting with Caesar. They're saying he's their king. There's only one king, there's only Caesar. The whole world hated him. But God knew, as much as they hated him, had they known this, they never would have gone through it. Because verse 9 says, but as it is written, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. You know, the things that God prepared. And this great secret, this great mystery that God held within his own heart, never told anyone. No angel, not even his own son, would he tell. Has to do with the Jew and the Gentile becoming one. Making one. Making of two. One new man. And that one new man being able to have free access. Not to the Holy of Holies, but to the actual throne room of God as our Father. As our Father. No longer servants, sons. And now what we have is so, so wonderful. It is beyond explanation as to why God would do this. But all the world is able to receive this great blessing in the new birth. And when it comes down to it, it's so simple. The preaching of the truth in regards to Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And the reception of that truth with faith comes all this great blessing. And now it is the power of God within each individual, no longer just reserved for one individual or one prophet or the Messiah while He was there. But it is resident within each one of us. Each one. We have this Spirit. It says, verse 10, God hath revealed them unto us. These things that God had hidden within His own heart. The thing that no one could ever imagine. All through time. No one imagined that this redemption would mean sonship. No one could ever have imagined that. It certainly wasn't indicated by this promise, I will make you the father of many nations. Nor was it indicated by any of the things that were in the law, right? That if you listen to me, if you obey my commandments, then all these blessings will follow you. All these blessings will be yours. But if you don't, then all these curses will follow. You'll be hard pressed to live and live, you know, with any kind of joy or happiness. None of this was ever indicated that we would each uniquely be loved by our Heavenly Father. and have the power of God resident within us, so that we, in the stead of Christ, could speak for Him and make known this God who loves unconditionally. Unconditionally. For us to be able to choose to speak words as Christ spoke, those words which were spirit and life unto their hearers. It borders on, as far as the world's concerned, it borders on just live your life and get the straitjacket. Because this guy's a wacko. But that's the world. In God's heart, He so desires for us to know what He has done for us by His grace, and that He has enabled us to speak as His Son spoke. To be able to speak words of great power. To encourage people to have faith and confidence in God and in God's power. And that's our calling. Because now everywhere we are, God has a representative, a son, a daughter, that He will be happy to speak to and encourage. Previously, God was restricted. Now, there's no limitations. There's never a place where there's not a son or daughter of God to speak for Him and to demonstrate His power. If we will but believe that. And that's our struggle. That's our challenge. You know, we have to believe. That's just believing. It's having that faith that God made these promises. God set this whole design. So either we believe Him or we just look at ourselves and our flesh and say, I can't do that. You know how many people say, like when you review the things that happened in the Gospels and the things Jesus Christ did and said, and most people look and go, but that was Him. That was Him. And yet God has made each one of us like Him. Like Jesus Christ. So we may as well have some fun, right? We may as well. We may as well enjoy life. Regardless of what's going on, we still have the promises of God to rely upon. And that's not living like ostriches, like with our heads in the sand. That's living like the Son of God. You know, knowing that He accepts us. He accepts you. Because you have had that faith in Him. And nothing else. He's not looking for anything else. He just wants us to trust Him. To believe Him. To just say, okay, God, you're wiser. Your foolishness is wiser than my greatest day. In my most wise moments. In those epiphanies of understanding. Your foolishness is still greater than that. So I'm going to leave it with you. You know, I'm going to leave all the questions that I have with you. And eventually, I will have answers. If not in this life, I will certainly have them when I meet the Lord face to face. Because I will know even as I am known. That's what the promise is. And so all the things that perhaps we will never have answers to. You know, why did that happen? I don't know. Well, I mean, we can surmise only from the Scriptures and the lessons that we learn from Scripture and how God works and why. And that should satisfy us until. Right? But we do know that we have this great calling. That which is fulfilled in us is what God held as a secret so that He could see it come into fruition. So let's joy and rejoice in that. You know, let's just shout it from the rooftops. I'm so blessed. I'm so blessed with what God has done for each of us. And it's not because we deserved it or earned it, that's for certain. It's because of His grace and His goodness and His love. You know, He so loved the world that He gave His only Son. You know? So, we rejoice in that. Alright? So, just a little bit of things that have been working in my heart for you. So, Father, we're thankful for your great love and your great blessings. God, we're grateful for your mercy and your grace that have brought to pass such a complete and full redemption and salvation for each of us. And God, we're so grateful to be your children, that we no longer have to walk on eggshells in your presence, but we can be free to be those joyous children that you've made us. So, Father, thank you that you do love us and you do accept us. You have raised us up together with Christ. You have seated us in the heavenlies with you, and that you have made us what we are. And Father, we're grateful that we can continue to proclaim words that you inspire us to speak, so that they can bring life to those who hear. Thank you, Father, for calling us to this. And thank you that we just can bring our hearts and minds to choosing to believe you. Thank you for backing us up. And thank you for what a great family you have called us to. In that wonderful and powerful name of Jesus Christ.